It's a delight to me to be back.
很高兴能够又回来。
With you for this China Bridge Conference.
能够参加这个中国桥聚会。
The subject for this weekend has been the doctrine or teaching of the Bible about the church.
这个周末我们讲的主题是有关教会论的这个题目。
On Friday night, we talked about the question, what is the church?
礼拜五晚上我们讲的是何谓教会。
Yesterday we talked about on what basis should the church be ordered.
我们昨天礼拜六讲的是教会是按照什么来管理的，来建立的。
And we saw that the church should be ordered on the basis of Scripture alone.
我们看到唯独圣经是我们建立教会的基础。
Not Scripture plus tradition.
不是圣经加上人的传统。
Or scripture plus our own ideas.
或者圣经加上人的意见，人的想法。不。
But scripture alone, the word of God alone.
而唯独圣经，唯独神的话，才是我们建立教会的基础。
But then we came to the third question.
然后我们又讨论第三个问题。
How should the church be governed?
教会应当如何治理呢？
And right now I'm in the process of opening up this under three headings.
好，我们现在要看下一个题目，也是在设立管理教会的题目。
So the question we are asking then is how should the local church be governed today?
所以我们在讨论，我们在问的问题是，今天的教会应当如何治理？
The answer to this question, as I've just said, must be governed.By strictly in accord with sola scriptura, or what we called also the regulative principle of scripture.
正如我们刚刚所说的，教会必须是唯独圣经，按照圣经的规范，回归圣经，或者称之为规范的原则来治理。
We must trust the sufficient scriptures to give us an adequate blueprint.Of the government of the church.
我们必须相信圣经是充足的，可以给我们一个蓝图，一份完整的蓝图来管理教会。
In this, as in many things, we must believe that the answer is in the Bible.
所以正如其他的任何事物一样，我们相信任何的答案都在圣经里。
If we are to search the scriptures to find it.
如果我们要查考圣经，我们就可以在圣经里找着答案。
If we assume the Bible has no answers to our questions,
如果我们以为圣经没有我们的问题的答案的话，
then it's unlikely we will find the Bible's answers.
那我们就很可能找不着答案。
Now, this subject of how the church should be governed is a large and detailed subject.
这个教会治理的题目是一个非常广泛而且细致的一个主题啊。
And I've attempted to simplify it by dealing with three major principles.
所以我就会试图把它总结为三个要点，三个原则。
Three overarching principles of New Testament church government.
三个新约圣经的教会治理的总原则。
These three principles are the independent principle.
这三个原则是第一，是独立性的原则。
The democratic principle.
第二，民主性的原则。
And the plural elder principle.
第三是众长老的原则。
Of New Testament church government.
这是新约教会如何治理，根据这三个原则。
Yesterday I dealt with the independent principle.
昨天我们已经查考了那叫独立教会治理的原则。
And I taught that the church is independent from other churches.
我们教导的是教会本地教会跟别的教会是独立的，是分开的。
Is an accountable only to the higher authority of Christ Himself.
每一个地方教会只要向耶稣基督我们的元首交账。
But now in this hour we come to what I'm calling the democratic principle of biblical church government.
好，这一个钟头呢，我们要讨论的是有关民主性的教会治理的原则。
The first thing we need here is a careful definition.
首先我们需要一个非常清楚谨慎的定义。
Democracy may mean many things to us that it does not mean in the Bible.
我们听民主这个词我们会有很多的联想但是圣经里头不是这个意思。
And this is why I actually hesitate to use the word democracy or democratic.
所以当我用这个词民主性的时候我有很大的保留因为我们很容易误解。
In our era, democracy is opposed to monarchy and aristocracy.
在我们这个时代呢当我们用民主制度的时候呢是跟君主集权和贵族专权是个对比
These are three contradictory forms of government.
这三种互相矛盾不融洽的治理方式。
But in the Bible,
但在圣经里头
and in the government of the church,
在教会治理上
these three kinds of government are combined.
这三种治理方式却是联合起来的一起治理的。
In biblical church government, democracy is qualified.
在圣经里面的教会治理呢我们所谓的民主这个民主有它特殊的定义
It is limited by the crown rights of King Jesus
我们的民主受到主耶稣我们君王的最高的统治的限制
So the crown rights of King Jesus and his church give us the principle of monarchy
所以主耶稣基督的统治呢其实给我们一个君主专制的一个原则因为他是主宰万有的主
And the principle of democracy is also limited by the plural elder principle
而且所谓的民主治理教会也被众长老治理教会的原则所约束所限制
Which I'll talk about tonight
今天晚上我会继续讨论到这一点
But the plural elder principle means that there's a kind of aristocratic element in church government.
众长老治理教会呢，也表明了有一种贵族专制的一个成分，在教会治理当中也有众长老贵族专制。
So in the government of the church, democracy is not opposed to aristocracy and monarchy.
所以在教会治理上面民主性的管理和君主集权和贵族专制这三者不是矛盾的而是和谐的是并进的
But these three kinds of government are combined.
但这三种是一起在联合治理
And so in the church democracy is not the same as popular sovereignty or the sovereignty of the people
所以在教会里的民主性这个民主性不是人民主权论就是人民主权至上像美国这样不是这样
Christ is the sovereign not the people
其实耶稣基督才是那主宰万有的君王不是民主而是主宰一切基督治理
So democracy as I'm using it right now is the right of the church to decide
所以我现在用这个词民主的意思就是教会有权利要决定
Democracy is the right of the church to decide what the will of the king is
来决定我们的王我们天上的王的旨意是什么
It's the right of the church to decide what the will of the king is with regard to certain fundamental issues in the church
跟教会里头有一些基本的事情我们怎么处理我们 民主老百姓要决定君王的意思要寻找他的旨意这是民主的意义
So democracy refers to the idea of the general consent of the church
所以当我们论到教会治理民主性的时候是大家的一致的共识。
The confession calls us the common suffrage of the church.
在我们的信仰告白里头称之为平信徒的参与
this,
或是平民参政权。
This general consent of the church is expressed through voting.
借着投票我们可以 能够有一致的意见来明白君王的旨意。
And what I'm saying is simply this.
我要讲的其实很简单啊。
The church must vote for the election of officers.
当我们要选举教会的领导的时候，我们要投票啊。
The church must vote for the discipline of members.
当我们要施行教会纪律的时候，我们要决策，要选举。
And the church must vote in certain others important matters.
还有一些重要的教会的事件呢，我们都要参与，都要参与进去。
So democracy in the church is not the right to vote as you please.
但是，当我们说到教会的民主性，不是说你照你自己的意思来选举，我要干什么就干什么，不是这个意思，不是为所欲为。
Democracy is not saying what do I want.
民主不是说老百姓要什么，我要什么。
Democracy in the church is not that.
这不是教会民主的意思。
Democracy in the church is asking what does the king want.
教会民主的意思是，哎，到底我们的王要什么？
And it's voting for the will of the king.
我要选择王的旨意，我要跟随他。
As is found in the Word of God.
根据圣经来寻求神的旨意，王的旨意。
Democracy is not the notion that every issue must be decided by the church.
所谓民主也不是教会里的每一件事情大大小小都要大家投票选举民主，不是这个意思啊。
Shall we spend $50 for flowers?
我们该不该花50块钱买花朵？
Let's have a meeting to vote for spending $50 for flowers.
我们来开个大会来决定啊，我们投票举手，要不要花50块钱买花朵？不是。
Shall we give $50 to this poor family?
哦，自己家很可怜，我们该不该给他50块钱啊？帮他。
Let's have another vote on that.
让我们开个会，然后的投票举手。
No.
不是这个意思啊。
A democracy in the church should not be conducted as if there is no such thing as pastoral authority.
我们不应该把长老或者牧者的权柄放在一边，然后我们来搞一个民主选举教会，我们来决定，不是这个意思。
We must not have a vote about everything.
我们没必要什么事情都要举手投票选举。
As if pastoral authority was meaningless.
好像教会里头的牧者的权柄是没有意义的一样。
As if the deacons had no wisdom.
好像教会里的执事没有智慧一样，不是。
Secondly, let's talk about the scriptural confirmation.
好，第二呢，我们要看看圣经的认定，圣经的认可。
Where does the Bible preach, teach this democratic principle?
圣经哪里教导教会有这个民主性呢？
Well, although I've qualified a great deal,
虽然我刚刚解释了很多
so that you will not misunderstand what I mean by the democratic principle,
免得你误解何谓民主性的原则。
The Bible does recognize that the membership of the church has a role to play in the church.
但是教会的确认可教会里的成员对教会里的决定都有参与权，凭信徒的参与权。
The membership of the church has a foundational role.
教会里的成员有一个很基本的角色。
The membership of the church has a critical role to play in the major decisions of church life.
Okay. 教会里的成员有一个很重要的角色在我们的做决定上，教会的决定上。
So the first and most important proof of the democratic principle is.
好，圣经里头第一个最重要的证明民主性的原则是
the right of the church to discipline members.
教会有权柄来施行教会纪律。
The Bible teaches that if someone is to be disciplined and put out of the church.There must be a vote of the church.
圣经教导，如果有人需要教会的纪律，从教会赶出去的话，那么必须要教会要一起 一起重新做决策。
The matter with which this is most clear is corrective church discipline.
最清楚的就是在要纠正教会里的成员，我们就需要有施行教会纪律，在这方面是很清楚的。
Which includes the actual putting of someone out of the church.
也包括把人赶出教会，开除会籍。
The key text we looked at yesterday.
钥匙经文的最重要的经文是在我们昨天看的。
But maybe we should look at them again.
也许我们应该再看一看马太福音的十八章。
Matthew 18:17.
十七节。
Here,
这里啊
Jesus has told the offended brother to take two or three with him and talk to the person who has sinned.
耶稣告诉那个有弟兄得罪你呢，就去带两三个人指出他的错来啊。
But if the person will not listen, he gives us further direction. Look at verse 17.
如果这个犯罪的人不听劝呢，他又教导我们要继续。我们看第七节啊。
Go ahead and read it.
若是不听他们，就告诉教会；若是不听教会，就看他像外邦人和税吏一样。
Look at the language of the text.
你看看这段经文用的言语。
Tell it to the church.
就告诉教会。
If he doesn't listen to the church,
若是不听教会，
the church must be told.
那教会必须要知道，对不对？
The church must speak.
教会必须要说话，对不对？
The person must listen to the church.
这个人呢，犯罪的人必须要听教会的。
You see, this is the biblical order.
这是圣经给我们的次序。
And then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
再看哥林多前书第五章。
The entire chapter is relevant.
整章都与我们的主题有关。
But Paul's key directions come in verses 3-5.
但是三到五节啊，是保罗给我们的最重要的吩咐。
Verses 3-5, go ahead.
三到五节，我的身子虽不在你们那里，心却在你们那里。好像我亲自与你们同在，已经判断了行这事的人，就是你们聚会的时候，我的心也同在。奉我们主耶稣的名，并用我们主耶稣的全能，要把这样的人交给撒旦，败坏他的肉体，使他的灵魂在主耶稣的日子可以得救。
When is the person to be disciplined?
这个人什么时候要受到教会的制裁呢？
Where is he to be turned over to the power of Satan?
什么时候要把他的身体交给撒旦呢？
Look at verse 4.
看看第四节怎么说。
When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus.
就是你们奉主耶稣基督的名聚会的时候。
The church must vote.
教会必须要做决定。
It must act as an assembly.
必须要聚在一起同心的抉择。
In the discipline of church members.
好制裁，好惩治那不守纪律的会员。
2 Corinthians 2:6 is also important.
后书二章六节也很重要。
And we must not forget it.
我们不能忘掉啊。
Look at 2 Corinthians 2:6.
看看林后二章六节。好，这样的人受了众人的责罚也就够了，倒不如赦免他，安慰他，免得他忧愁太过，甚至沉沦了。
This text is probably speaking of the man who was disciplined in 1 Corinthians 5.
这段经文可能指的就是哥林多前书那个受惩治的弟兄。
But whether that's true or not, it's still speaking of how discipline should be undertaken.
不管怎么样，这段经文都告诉我们我们如何施行教会纪律。
And what does the text say?
这段经文怎么说？
The punishment by the majority is sufficient for such a person.
这样的人受了众人，注意这个众人，众人的责罚也就够了。
The word majority means the more.
这个众人的意思就是大多数人了。
There was a meeting of the church.
教会聚集在一起。
And the church voted by a majority.
教会达到同一个决策，大多数人都这样决定了。
To punish the person in question with a discipline of the church.
大家一致决定要把这个 犯罪的人，要制裁他，要责罚他。
This confirms the democratic principle.
哦，这就肯定了民主的原则。
By speaking of the punishment which was inflicted by the majority.
因为这里讲到受了众人的责罚，这个就肯定了民主性的原则，教会治理原则。
The implication of the authority of the church to terminate membership is that it also has the right to receive or admit new members.
哦，既然呢，教会有权柄停止一个人的会籍，把他开除，那么也就暗示了教会也有权柄接受新的成员。
The church can put members out.
教会有权柄把人赶走。
It also has the right to invite them in.
也有权柄邀请他们再进来，或是新人进来。
But this democratic principle is also seen in the right of the church to elect officers.
哦，这个民主性的原则也看到教会有权柄选立长老，或是选立教会的职员。
This is logical.
这是很合乎逻辑的哈。
If the church has the right to put someone out,
如果教会有权柄把人赶出去。
If no one can be put out of the church without a vote of the church,
如果教会没有一起同心合意的决策的话，不能把人赶出去的话，
then it makes sense, doesn't it?
那么也很合乎逻辑，对不对？
That in the election of officers, the church would also have a say.
我们选立长老的时候，整个教会也应该参与，对不对？
If there is common suffrage in the termination of membership,
如果要把人停止，让他不做会员，需要一致性的同意，需要平信徒的参与的话，
It would seem to follow that the church has a right to have a say in the election of its own officers.
那么这样子逻辑推理下去，当我们选立长老的时候，那整个教会也要一致的参与，平信徒也有选举权，这也是很合乎逻辑的嘛。
But this is not just a logical implication.
但这不仅仅是一个逻辑推理而已啊。
Of what we've seen already.
正如我们刚刚看的啊。
This is also taught in the Bible.
这也是圣经本身的教导。
The right to elect its own officers is confirmed by the way in which the 12 had the 7 chosen in Acts chapter 6.
在使徒行传第六章，当十二个使徒选立七个执事的时候。我们也看到，哎，这教会的确有权柄，有要让平信徒整个教会都要参与，让所有的信徒都参与选立教会的职任。
The seven men chosen to care for the widows in Acts chapter 6.
在使徒行传第六章，他们选出七个执事来照顾寡妇。
I think were the first deacons.
我相信他们是。最先的七个执事啊，教会的执事。
Acts 6:1-7 contains the account.
使徒行传六章的一到七节讲到这一段历史。
Look at Acts 6:1-7.
我们看看这段经文，在你的那个 bulletin 上面有，单章上有。
Now, it's interesting that even though 12 apostles were in the church in Jerusalem,
但很有趣哦，虽然在耶路撒冷有12个使徒，
that the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples,
这12个使徒把所有的会众都请来，
verse 2,
第二节，
and urged them to select from among you 7 men of good reputation.
12使徒叫众门徒来对他们说，我们撇神道不好，所以然后就鼓励他们选择七个人。
The apostles did not choose the seven.
不是使徒自己去选啊。
The church chose the seven.
乃是会众，整个教会选的是七个人。
Consequently, the whole congregation chose Stephen and the rest of the seven.
所以大众就是整个会众就选择了斯提凡，还有其他七个人。
See it there in verse 5.
你看第五节是吧？大众。
The right of the church to elect officers implies of the right of the church to remove officers.
所以教会既有权柄选立执事长老， 那么就暗示教会也有权柄开除执事，开除长老。
The church has a right to remove unqualified officers.
教会有权柄把那不合乎条件、不够资格的长老或是执事开除。
Acts 14:23,
使徒行传14章23节
is sometimes quoted, to support the idea of the election of officers by the church.
有时候呢我们会引用这段经文说我们投票选举教会的执事长老，引用这段经文来支持这样的观点。
Look at Acts 14:23,
我们来看看这段经文14章23节。二人就是保罗跟巴拿巴在各教会中选立了长老，看没有？选立了长老，又谨实祷告，就把他们交托所信的主。
The word appointed means to stretch out the hand.
哦，这里选立的意思啊，就是伸出手来的意思。
Some people think this means to stretch out the hand in voting.
有些人认为啊，这就表示投票的时候举手选举嘛。
Actually, I think it's probable that it meant to stretch out the hand, laying hands on the.New officer.
其实我想不是这样，乃是伸出手来按立那些、刚刚被选立的长老，不是这个，而是这样。
I doubt then that we can use this text to prove that officers must be elected by the church.
我想这段经文不可以、用来支持、教会的长老是我们投票选举出来，不是这个意思啊。
But we have good proof besides this.
但除了这段经文，我们还有别的经文来证明。
This text probably refers to the laying on of hands in ordination.
哦，这一段经文选立啊，指的是按立，用手伸出来按立在初选的长老身上。
And not to the lifting of hands by the church in election.
而不是教会选举投票举手，不是这个意思的啊。
We certainly can't use this text as a proof text.
天哪
cannot.
那我们当然不能用这段经文来证明是教会的执事长老是举手选立的啊。
Now, I want to talk about this word election.
我要谈一谈这个选立这个词。
I have talked about the election of officers.
我讲到选立教会的执事长老。
But just as I used the word democracy with hesitation,
正如当我用民主这个词的时候，我有一些保留啊。
So I used the word election with reservation.
是同样的，当我说选举的时候，我也有一些保留，用这个词啊。
To modern ears, an election connotes several things which clearly deviate from the word of God.
这现代人当他听到选举的时候就会马上就意识到就会联想到一些事情跟圣经是违反的。
There is no instance, for instance, of two men running against each other for office in the church.
譬如啊在教会里头不像世界上我们选美国总统没有两个人啊我们投票啊竞选啊两个候选人啊不是圣经不是这样的概念啊。
When I was elected in one church to the office of elder,
当我在一个教会里头，我被选立做长老的时候，
another man was put up for elder at the same time.
另外有个人呢，也有人支持他做长老。
His young daughter thought we were running against each other.
他的女儿，那个人的女儿，以为我们两个人像选总统一样，两个人在竞争啊。
And afraid that I would get more votes than her father.
她女儿害怕呢，她的票数会比她的爸爸票数高。
But of course she was mistaken.
当然她女儿搞错了。
Election in the church doesn't involve two people running against each other.
在教会里头两个人竞选不是两个人在竞争呐。
And in other ways, election of the church is not like election in our society.
所以很多方面不像我们社会上选总统、选社会上选议员这样选不一样的，不是这样选举。
There's no basis for the idea that election is an act of sovereign authority by the people.
这不是说最后老百姓民主投票，民主老百姓有最后的决定权啊。
There's no basis for saying that election is the ultimate source of power in the church. So this would be completely contrary to the scriptural idea. We have no biblical right to vote for whomever we please.
我们也没有圣经的, 根据, 选我们自己所喜欢的人不。
When we come to a vote of the church,
当我们在教会里头选人的时候,
we must not say, what do I want?
我们不能说, 哎, 我喜欢谁, 我要谁, 不是我。
But what does Christ say?
乃是基督说什么。
In Acts 6, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, there are qualifications for office.
在使徒行传第六章, 提摩太前书第三章和提多书第一章都讲到了, 要做教会的, 长老执事, 都有资格的, 有条件的。
Those passages give specific qualifications for office in the church.
这些经文告诉我们, 在教会里做长老执事, 需要哪一些资格, 哪一些条件, 讲得清清楚楚。
The church must submit to these qualifications. You must submit to these qualifications. And the way that you exercise your privilege to vote.
所以当你使用神给你的权柄选择的时候, 你必须要服在神的话语下, 按着神所提供的资格来选。
We may not refuse a man for office if he is qualified.
若有一个人够资格做执事长老, 我们不能够拒绝这样的人。
The church may not remove a man from office if he is qualified.
如果一个人够资格做长执, 我们也没有权柄把他开除掉。
The church may not keep a man in office who is unqualified.
那反过来, 如果一个人不够资格, 不合乎圣经的条件, 我们也没有权柄留住他, 继续做长执。
We use the term election for this reason.
我们用选立这个词, 因为
election refers to what the confession calls the common suffrage of the church itself.
因为选立, 和 平信教会的平信徒参与是有关系的，不是一个人决定，而是所有的平信徒都要参与，都有参与权。
No outside authority has a right to impose a pastor on a church.
在这个教会之外，没有任何权柄强加一个人来做我们的带领人或者我们的长执。
The church must receive a pastor by its vote.
教会必须自己选立，自己参与来接纳他的长执，或是牧者。
Now, churches may use their common suffrage to sin.
那当然啊, 教会也可能滥用神给他们的权柄，平民参与权去犯罪。
Churches may sin in the way they vote.
他们选举，他们参与的时候可能犯罪。
If they vote contrary to God's revealed will.
如果他们违反神的旨意来选长执的话, 他们就犯罪了。
If they vote contrary to what the apostles told them to do.
如果他们反不照着使徒的教训, 那个资格来选举的话, 他们就犯罪了。
The fact that the church votes for it doesn't make it right. The fact that the church votes for it doesn't make it right.
所以教会选举本身不能使这件事情本身就是对的。
The vote of the church doesn't change the teaching of the Bible.
这教会的选举不能够改变圣经的教导。
Sometimes churches may reject an officer who is qualified.
有时候教会可能会拒绝一个够资格做长职的人，不让他做长职。
If it does this, the church sins.
若是这样，教会就犯罪了。
The church may discipline a member wrongly.
或者一个人没犯罪，教会却把他开除了。
And put someone out of the church that should not be put out of the church.
把一个不该开除的人开除掉了。
If the church does this, it sins.
如果教会这样做的话，教会也犯罪了。
The church does this, it must repent.
所以这个教会必须要悔改。
But these, you see, are unjustified exercises of church power.
这些都是不合理的运用神所赐给他们的权柄。
Such exercises of church power, churches will be held accountable for.
这样错误的运用神给的民主的原则的话，那么他就要向神交账，神要找他算账的。
Another proof for the right of the church to vote is from the royal priesthood of all believers.
另外一个证明教会有民主的原则，民主选举权的话，是从人人皆祭司的原则。
We will not turn to all these passages.
我们没必要看这所有的经文啊。
But they all teach that Christ's people are a royal priesthood.
所有这些经文呢，都教导我们，神的百姓都是那有君尊的祭司。
Christ has made them kings and priests in His temple.
基督使我们成为君王，又成为祭司，在他的殿里，我们都是君王和祭司。
Does it make sense that kings and priests would have no vote in who their pastor would be?
难道君王跟祭司不能够参与选举决定他们当中谁应该做牧者吗？
So we've deduced the right of the church to vote from the priesthood of all believers.
所以从人人皆祭司的这个原则，我们可以推论我们有参与权，凭信徒参与权来决定教会的事务。
The church also calls Christians to minister to one another.
教会呢，圣经也教导这些信徒要彼此服侍。
And this teaches the dignity of every believer.
这也教导我们每一个信徒的尊贵的身份。
The dignity of every believer is a great emphasis of the New Testament.
新约啊，非常强调每一个信徒的尊贵的祭司的身份。
So we would be surprised if the vote of these very honorable believers was not required for church discipline or the election of officers.
所以当我们在教会里选立长老或执行教会纪律的时候，如果我们这些尊贵的有尊贵身份的信徒我们不能参与的话，那就非常奇怪了。
So even without the previous passages, we might assume that the church should vote in such matters.
就算没有前面这些经文哦，我们也可以认定信徒有参与权，凭信徒有参与权。
What are the practical implications of all this?
好，这个民主性的原则有什么应用呢？实际应用呢？
What does the democratic principle in church government mean practically?
在教会治理上，这个民主性原则有一些什么实际的应用？
It means many things.
有很多的应用啊。
Systems of church government that don't regard the consent of the church as necessary are wrong.
所以任何的教会管理制度不让凭信徒参与到他重大抉择当中的话，都不对。
Where the consent of the church is not required for church discipline, that's wrong.
当我们实行教会纪律的时候，不需要所有信徒的一致同意，这样的做法是错的。
Where the consent of the church is not required for the election of officers, that's wrong.
当我们选立长职的时候，如果不需要整个会众都参与的话，这也是 wrong。这也是错。
Now, we can understand why some people today have done this.
我们可以明白为什么有些人会不让会众参与啊。
Many churches are dominated by a radical democratic congregationalism.
因为有些教会啊是管理制度是极度的民主会众制，都是老百姓说了算。
Well, absolutely everything is decided by a vote of the church.
一切事情都是啊，教会选举决定，我们民主决定，有些。
But it's always wrong to overreact.
但是我们也可能矫枉过正，走另一个极端。
If we overreact, our overreaction will be subject to abuse.
如果我们对这个民主制度过分的
If too much democracy is wrong,
如果太民主了，错了。
Too little democracy may be abusive.
太少民主也可能滥用了，也可能错。
Secondly,
第二。
If the membership of the church is so important in the government of the church,
如果在教会治理上这个会员的参与是如此重要的话，
You see how important it is to maintain the purity of the church's membership.
所以保持会员的纯洁和圣洁也是非常重要，你看到没有？
If the church is composed of believers,
如果教会是由信徒所组成，
This system can work.
那这个会众参与就水到渠成。
But you see the problem is the church is not composed of believers.
那问题是，如果这个教会不都是好信徒，不都是信徒的话，
It has many people in it that are not born again.
有很多没有重生的人也混进来了。
How will they have the wisdom?
他们怎么会有神的智慧呢？
To participate in this part of church government.
他们怎么能够参与教会治理呢？这些不信的人。
Biblical standards must be upheld for entrance into the church and continuance in the church.
所以要进入教会，成为会员，我们必须要有圣经的标准、圣经的要求，才能让人进来。
A third application.
第三个应用。
And this is addressed to pastors.
这是对牧者说的。
Pastors must resist the tendency to distrust the membership of the church.
作为牧者的或长职的，必须要抵挡不信任下面信徒的这个倾向。
Assuming that the church is composed of believers.
那我们假设下面的信徒都是真正信主的弟兄姊妹。
The pastor must assume that the church is composed of people who have the spirit of wisdom from God.
那么做牧者的要信赖主，相信下面的弟兄姊妹也有神的智慧，可以做抉择。
And so pastors must not seek to vest wrong authority in themselves out of such mistrust.
所以做牧者的不要因为不信任信徒就独揽大权。
They must give credit for wisdom to a well-instructed and spiritual church.
所以一个属灵的教会又受到很好的教导，那么牧者必须相信下面的信徒有天上来的智慧，能够做对的决定。
A fourth implication.
好，第四个应用。
The exercise of the democratic principle in church government must be wisely limited.
这个民主性的教会治理的原则呢，也必须有智慧的受到一些限制。
Why?
为什么呢？
Because of the fact of the elders of the church.
因为教会里头还有长职呢，长老牧师。
As we will see tonight, the elders have real authority in the church.
我们今天晚上会继续查考， 长职们有在教会里头有属灵的权柄的。
So biblical church government requires balancing the authority of the elders with the liberty of the members.
所以在教合乎圣经的教会治理啊，必须要有个平衡，就是一方面长职们有权柄，另一方面信徒们也有自由，要平衡。
Biblical church government is a puzzle with two pieces.
所以合乎圣经的治理呢，是一个 puzzle， 一个叫什么啊？拼图有两块的拼图。
The two pieces are the authority of the elders and the liberty of the members.
一块拼图呢，就是长职的权柄，另外一个就是信徒的自由。
And we must learn how to fit these two pieces together.
我们必须学习把这两个拼图凑在一块平衡起来。
This means that a vote of the church is not necessary for everything.
所以这个意思就是说，教会不是每一件事情都要投票、都要选举、都要大家讨论、一致通过，不是这个意思。
The Bible only explicitly mandates votes for the exercise of church discipline and the election of officers.
这圣经只在两件事上清楚地吩咐我们必须要有参与，要有选择，就是第一是教会的施行教会纪律的时候，第二就是选立长职的时候。
But there are other things that the church should probably vote on.
但是还有其他的事，也许教会也应该大家都一起共同参与的。
If the church should vote on the discipline of members,
如果教会应该施行教会纪律的时候，大家都要参与。
If the church should vote on the election of officers,
选举长职的时候，教会也应该人人参与的话。
It makes sense that the church should vote on other major issues.
那么其他重要的决定抉择的时候，也应该我们也要参与，这是合乎逻辑的。
These could include things like this.
包括哪一些事呢？我们应该要参与的。
The approval of the annual church budget.
譬如说每年教会的预算，经济预算。
The adoption and revision of the church's constitution.
是教会章程的修订啊，或者是接受啊，我们也应该参与。
Major financial decisions like the purchase of a church building.
譬如要买一个教会的教堂啊，这些很大的经济的抉择的时候，也应该人人都参与。
This very afternoon in Owensboro.
今天下午在他们那个城里头。
The church of which I am a pastor there.
他身为牧者的那个教会啊。
Is having a meeting in a church building.
他们在教会里头开一个大会。
That we may want to buy.
他们可能要买。
We are having the people see the building.
我们这些老百姓大家来看看那个要教堂，新的教堂。
So that they can wisely vote on whether we should purchase this church building.
好，叫众信徒呢都可以做出抉择，都可能可以参与是否要买这个教堂。
Their wisdom may help us as elders.
他们的智慧可以帮助我们这些长职。
And we as elders don't want the authority to spend that much money without a vote of the church.
所以我们这些长职不运用，不愿意，没有大家参与就滥用权柄啊。
But most other day-to-day decisions should be left to the elders and deacons.
但是每一天呢，那些芝麻蒜皮的小事呢，应该就交给长职们自己做决定。
Administrative and financial decisions should be left to the elders and deacons.
教会的行政啊，还有一些什么经济的决定啊，就由长职们可以快快的决定。
Doesn't this make sense?
这不是很有道理吗？
Did you elect them as an elder or deacon and think that they were foolish?
你是不是选了他们做长职，然后认为他们很笨？
Did you not vote for them because you thought they were wise men?
你选他们，因为你认为他们很智慧，对不对？
And if they are wise men, can they not make the smallest decisions without a vote of the church?
那难道这些智慧人在教会里的小事上不能做决定，非要大家都举手，都参与的投票？难道他们不能做小事上做决定吗？
And so the church must trust these wise men to make these day-to-day decisions.
所以教会必须要信赖这些智慧人，他们所选出的智慧人来做每天的决定。
Let's pray.
好，我们祷告。